This week and next, our Gospels will proclaim the person of Jesus, of John the Baptist, and more importantly, how he announces and reveals the fulfillment of the coming of Jesus Christ. And so, to begin, though, raise your hand if you have someone, if you know someone, or you have a loved one who has fallen away from the practice of the faith. That's almost everyone, and that's not surprising. Chances are they were raised to believe in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. They might have grown up practicing their faith, but they've been stopped going to church. Think also about the many people who will come to Mass on Christmas, but haven't been for a while. To them, they might know why we celebrate Christmas, that it is the birth of Jesus Christ. But do they really know how the baby of Jesus is any different than any other baby that is born? What makes Jesus God? You ever thought of that? What makes Jesus God? Is it just the mighty works and miracles that he performed later in life? Those same miracles that our loved ones who may not believe in the Bible in the first place, who might not believe in those miracles? So what makes Jesus God? Why is Jesus and Christianity relevant and important to them today? Let us see how our reading today answers these questions. Our gospel says that John the Baptist appeared in the desert of Judea wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now think about that for a second. How many of you would stop doing what you're doing, go out to the desert, go out to the middle of nowhere, and if you've been to Jerusalem, you know it is the middle of nowhere, to a river where some guy wearing camel's hair and eating locusts is preaching? How many of you would go out and listen to him? It might be as if a homeless person were on the street corner preaching. Would we listen to what he's saying? Even if he were saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, even then, we still probably would not believe him. Perhaps that is what our loved ones are thinking when they hear us preaching about Jesus, but it is falling on deaf ears. But our gospel goes on to say that all of Jerusalem, all of Judea, and a whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him. Now, why in the heck would all of Jerusalem, the largest city, and Judea, a second largest city, why would they all go out into the desert, into the wilderness, to listen to this man preaching, this man wearing camel's hair and eating locusts? Why would all of them go out to hear what he's saying? It's because of where he was. John the Baptist went to the River Jordan. Now, if you know anything about the Old Testament, those Jews would have understood. To make straight your path in the desert would have immediately brought to mind the Exodus. If you remember in the Old Testament, how God saved his people through Moses, through the Exodus. How they traveled through the desert to be saved from Pharaoh's slavery. And when they crossed, guess what river? The Jordan River. When they walked through the desert and crossed the Jordan River, they went into and entered into their promised land. They were saved. So now, John the Baptist going to the very same place where the first Exodus ended is saying a new Exodus is coming. Be prepared. Prepare yourselves for the new Exodus, the new saving. Likewise, the fact that John wore camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist pointed to the great prophet Elijah, who, you guessed it, also wore camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And so these people, the good Jews who went out to the Jordan River to hear this guy preaching, they would have known this guy is the new Elijah, the new great prophet who is to come, announcing the new Savior. The Jews would have known these prophecies of the Old Testament when John the Baptist appears and all the hundreds, if not dozens and dozens and dozens of prophecies were becoming to fulfillment. But rather, John the Baptist doesn't say that he is fulfilling them, but the one who is to come, he will fulfill them. The one who he is not even worthy to untie his sandals of. But it's also too important to understand what the Jews were anticipating. More than a new Moses and a new Exodus, they were waiting for and longing for a new kingdom, a new temple, a new king, a new Jerusalem, and a new temple. Again, if you know your Old Testament, you know how important the King David was in unifying the kingdoms of the earth. You know how important Jerusalem and the temple was. But more than that, the Jews knew how destructive the sin of Adam and Eve was, not just on the relationship of human beings, but on human beings to all of creation. So they were looking also for a new creation. They were waiting for a Savior, for a Messiah to come who would make all these things new. A new kingdom, a new temple, a new creation. They're waiting for someone to come and make all things new. So with that in mind, let us look at the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. See how this prophecy points to the Messiah whom they were looking for. It says, on that day, on a future day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a bud shall blossom. Now, if you know, Jesse was the father of King David. So this prophecy is saying that a future Messiah will come from the descendants of David, of Jesse and David. And then this is one of the sisters that throughout the New Testament, whenever somebody says, behold, referring to Jesus, son of David, announcing faith. They were announcing they believed that he, Jesus, is the coming the Messiah who was prophesied about hundreds of years ago. Then our first reading goes on to say, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon this future Messiah. So the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord, all these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus himself has to the fullest, these same gifts can be ours if we put Jesus as Lord of our lives and hearts. But then Isaiah goes on to give the even more imagery of the future Messiah, which you might have not have caught. All the imagery of the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the calf and the lion, all of this imagery is about Eden. If you go back to Genesis 1 and 2, before the fall, there's peace and harmony in all creation. There is peace between all the animals and people. And so the image here is of a new restored Eden, a new restored paradise, where there is no bloodshed, no violence, no strife. Can you imagine a time in a new Jerusalem, a new city of the city of God, where there is not going to be any more pain, any more suffering, but there will be true peace and harmony, not only in the hearts of man, but in creation also. That, my brothers and sisters, is what Jesus, who fulfills this Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, brings to fulfillment. And so what does all these prophecies mean for us? These prophecies that are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. The dozens and dozens and dozens of prophecies of the Old Testament testify that they are fulfilled in Jesus. And so that means that Jesus of Nazareth is not just one more leader of one more world religion. He is the only founder of any major religion that has ever been pre-announced. The fact that all these Old Testament prophecies pre-announcing a coming of a Messiah and Jesus Christ fulfilling each and every one of these prophecies declare, makes credible the truth that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God, the Messiah who is to come. It means that Christianity is not a man-made religion. It means that Christianity is a religion that is divinely revealed by God, and that Jesus wants to be known, and it is prepared for by God for all the course of the centuries. So the very time that John the Baptist comes onto the scene in the place of the old Exodus, there are dozens and dozens of these kind of prophecies which are fulfilled, which brings credibility to the truth of Jesus Christ. And so, my brothers and sisters, that peace that the Messiah would bring about, the peace in creation, the peace in harmony, can be ours. can be theirs of our loved ones who have fallen away. That peace and the harmony which they are looking for can be theirs if they bring Jesus into their lives and their hearts. That is the good news. And that is the good news that they need to hear. The truth of this season, the truth of Jesus Christ, and the peace and the harmony that he wants to bring to our hearts and the hearts of all those who have fallen away. That is how relevant